Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear friends, there is a button that I really like hitting in my car when I go on a long road trip. When I hit that button, I'm usually very relaxed and feeling good about where I'm headed. That button is the cruise control button. Going on a long trip, I don't hit that button right away. Because getting to I-5, you've got to turn in a few places. It wouldn't make sense putting on the cruise control button right out of our house. And there's a lot of accelerating and braking and stoplights and that sort of thing on the way to I-5. And even once you get to I-5, it takes a couple miles to kind of settle in with the pace of traffic and to really get settled in to see that you got a clear path. But then comes that moment. Oh, it's magical. You just hit cruise control and you set it. It's so relaxing. A clear path in front of you. How many of you like cruise control? All right. But a lot of people don't. It's interesting. Okay. There's one downside to cruise control, and that is that you're not as alert. Not as alert to the zooming car that's coming behind you, whizzing in and out of traffic 20 miles per hour faster than you. Not alert to the road signs that tell you how fast you should be going. I speak from experience when I say that. A couple years ago, I was pulled over by an officer for going too fast. And the main reason for why I was going too fast was that button in my car. The officer pulled me over. We're in Dalles, Oregon. That is just a trap place. Oh man, watch out. And when he pulled me over, he came up to the window and he said, "Sir, did you know you're going 75 miles per hour?" My response was, "Of course. I set my cruise control to 75 miles per hour." Cruise control, it's relaxing, but you see, we're not as alert as we should be. Now imagine your spiritual life. What if there was a cruise control button that you could push with your spiritual journey with God? I mean, think about confirmation. You learn all those details in the catechism and the chief parts of the catechism, the Apostles' Creed and the Lord's Prayer and the Ten Commandments and the sacraments. What if after confirmation you just push the cruise control button on your spiritual walk with God? Or what if you were able to hit that button after you've experienced a lot of pain and tragedy and you've overcome it and God's seen you through those difficult times, but you come to a point where you just say, there's no more growth that can happen in my life. I just want to hit the button and go on cruise control in my relationship with God. I think Jesus is coming across some people who had hit that button in their walk with God in John chapter 8. This discussion that Jesus has with these Jews that were on the way. Now these Jews, they were good people. It's not that they were wicked or they had done evil things. In fact, the thought is with these people that Jesus is engaging with conversation, these would be people that would be reputable in the community, someone that you would want as your next door neighbor. The issue was, you see, they had been taught by their rabbis that because they were connected, because they were descendants of Abraham, our text says, they could just hit the cruise control button and just go on with life. The teaching in Jesus' day was that because Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had done all these good works, and boy, were they faithful, and they had immense amount of faith in difficult and trying times. Abraham made an amazing journey. Isaac believed God and his promise. So did Jacob. The thought was in Jesus' day is that a person with their demerits and their failings could rely upon the works of Abraham and ancestors from a long time ago to overcome their faults and failings. And essentially, the teaching was you could just hit a button and go on cruise control in your walk with God. Do you see that many people today could do a similar thing and just hit the cruise control button on their spirituality? I don't know how many conversations you've had with people in which they explain their spiritual views, but I've had a lot of conversations that have basically gone like this. I'll ask, so what is your religion? What is your background? And the response back is, I'm a Christian, which is great. And then I follow up that question with another question. Well, tell me about that. And the response is, well, my great-great-great-grandfather was a Presbyterian from Scotland, and boy, was he a nice guy. And on my other side of the family, my great-grandfather was Lutheran. He was kind of weird. But yeah, he was Lutheran. I was raised non-denominational, but I don't really go to church any longer. By the way, I can pull out the record of when people were married and when they were baptized and this sort of thing. But when they explain this, they don't really give any explanation of a living faith in their life.